Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time. Father, we bless you and thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it was many years ago, I was preaching at this event. It was a church event, and man, the house was full, and it was a great event, and the preacher did a great job, even if I do say so myself. And people walked up to me afterwards talking about how blessed they were by the message, how much it helped them, how much it spoke to their life. And a brother came up in particular, man, he was super excited. He was from the Bahamas. And man, he was telling me, man, he had never heard a message like that before and how God had spoken to him. And then he wanted my contact information. He said, listen, man, you are coming to the Bahamas. Yeah, would you come to the Bahamas and preach at my church? And I'm like, yeah, when, right? He said, no, man, done deal. It's done. Man, when I get home, I'm going to send you the information. I'm going to invite you. I was so excited, y'all. I'm a young preacher now. Man, I was so excited. I went and told my mother. I said, man, mommy, guess what? You wouldn't believe this. I'm going to the Bahamas to preach. And she was like, oh, man, that's amazing. That's wonderful, right? She was so encouraging. And I never heard from that brother again. Now, I learned several things from that episode. This happened to me other times where people say, oh, man, you got to come and preach for me. Man, come and preach for me. I'm going to bring you to Africa. You got to preach for me. Come to London. Man, you got to come preach for me. And 99% of the time, people are speaking out of the excitement of that moment. And they make a promise, but the promise is not kept. Now, I'm not saying people were being malicious. I'm not saying they were being mean. They meant what they said at the moment, but they just didn't bring it to pass. They taught me a lesson. While many people make promises, fewer people keep promises. And there are times in our lives, watch this, when we look at other people very skeptical when they make a promise because we've already been burned in the past. Now, y'all, I wasn't mad that the brother never called me to go to the Bahamas. Well, I wasn't mad long that I never heard from the brother, right? But there are some of you under the sound of my voice who have had some promises broken that have hurt you deeply. A parent broke a promise, or a spouse broke a promise, or a sibling broke a promise, or a friend broke a promise. And here's what I need you to know today. There's a promise that God has made that will never be broken. But here's what you need to understand about the promises of God. Watch this. Promises made by people can and very often are broken by people. But when God makes a promise in your life, the only person who can break God's promise to you is you. Now think about that for a minute. That if God makes you a promise and it is not fulfilled, it is not God's fault. So how do we live in a way that the promises of God become fulfilled in our lives? That's what I want to talk to you today from that thought. How to have God's promises fulfilled in your life. How to live in a way that you can have God's promises fulfilled in your life. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can find an outline at our website, goodhope.org, or you can download it using our app. And there is a fill-in-the-blank version that you can fill in using your smartphone or your tablet. Three things I want you to see today. Here's what's interesting. The season that we're in, the Advent season, has been underwritten, announced by several prophecies or prophetic scriptures that appear in the Word of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is a passage that many of us are familiar with, and we hear often during this Advent season. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, here's what's interesting about the prophecies of God regarding the coming Messiah. In order for those prophecies to become fulfilled, in order for them to manifest themselves, each of those prophecies were people dependent. In other words, a person had to position themselves to receive what God said and welcome what God said in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled. Here's what I need you to think about today. If God has a plan and purpose for your life, what do you need to do to see God's promises fulfilled in your life? Because I submit to you, if the prophecies and promises and plans of God have not become a reality in your life, the problem is not God. The problem is the person you look at every day in the mirror. Three things I want you to see today around this theme: how to have God's promises fulfilled in your life. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to make your person available to God. You need to make your person available to God. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, the New Living Translation says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, circle that word, Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Gabriel is on his second mission surrounding the birth of Jesus. He has already made his way to Zacharias and Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth is now, after childbearing years, carrying a child who would later be known as John the Baptist. She is 6 months pregnant, and so Gabriel lets Mary know that the God who's about to open her womb is the God who opened her older cousin's womb. He says to her, Mary, I want you to hear what God has to say to you. Now, before we get to what he said, I want you to think about who Mary is and where the angel finds Mary. The Bible says that she was found in Nazareth. Nazareth was a despised city. It was a city that was considered inferior by the rest of Israel, in part because Galilee bordered heathen nations. Nazareth and its citizens were the object of deep prejudice by both the Jews and Romans alike. There was a phrase that was linked to Jesus when they talked about this prophet from Nazareth, and they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It would be the equivalent of somebody talking in a disparaging way about the bottom, and then somebody saying, can any good thing come out of the bottom? And the Bible says that it was in Nazareth that the angel of the Lord visited Mary. Despite how other folk viewed Nazareth, God said, that's where I'm going to find the conduit by which Christ is going to enter the world. And the Bible says Mary was highly favored by God. She was given a unique privileged to be favored by God. And then the text says, not only was she favored by God, but the angel says, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now, here's what's interesting about the Lord being with Mary. He didn't start being with Mary when he showed up in Nazareth. God had been with Mary prior to that visitation, was with Mary in that visitation, and promised to be with her from that point forward. Everywhere that Mary went, the Lord was sure to go. God was going to be with Mary no matter what. Somebody said, wait a minute, what difference does that make? Here's what I need you to know. God is looking for dedicated men and women who will make themselves available to be used by God. And here's what he needs you to know. Don't allow where you are to determine where God can take you. Just because she was in Nazareth didn't mean she had to stay in Nazareth. And God had a greater purpose for her than how she would be defined by others around her. As quickly as he could find somebody in Jerusalem, God says, I can find somebody in Nazareth. So I'm here to tell somebody today, don't allow the place that you have been to dictate in your mind where God can take you and where God wants you to go. Matter of fact, write this down somewhere on your outline. The greatest ability is availability. Write it down somewhere. The greatest ability is availability. I don't care how good a person is. If they're not available, then their ableness does not benefit me. God says, I need you to be available so my ableness can show up in your availability. Mary made herself available to God. And the question on the table is, are you willing to make yourself available to God? As we get ready to go into 2025, will it be your best year or will it be the same old year? Will it be the same old story? Will you keep procrastinating and putting off what God wants to do through your life? Because God's prophetic promises for your life cannot become a reality in your life until you decide to make yourself available to God. Here's the second thing. I told you, number one, you need to make your person available to God. Number two, you need to accept God's plan, that God has a purpose and plan for your life. You need to accept God has a purpose and plan for your life. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 29, the New Living Translation says, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I want you to underline confused and disturbed. Don't be afraid, Mary, verse 30, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. The text says Mary was confused and disturbed. That verb is in the passive voice. That literally means she was thrown into confusion by the declaration of the angel. Now, what would have added to her being confused and disturbed? Well, there's two things that I can see right away in the text. The first thing is she was visited by an angel. I think it's safe to say a whole lot of angels wasn't stopping by Nazareth in that day and time. You know, folk wasn't gathering together talking about, hey, did your angel come by and see you? Nah, he coming by at 2 o'clock. What about your angel? Oh, now she gonna come by at 3. I talked to her a little bit early, but she had another run to make. You know what I mean? Like that was an abnormal, unexpected visitation. But not only was the visitation of the angel unexpected, Mary gets unexpected news and an unexpected message from an unexpected messenger. Remember, this is a girl somewhere between 13 and 15 years of age who is in Nazareth, who is in the armpit of Galilee. Nobody thinks anything positive or good can come out of Nazareth. And the Bible says an angel comes and tells her that everything good is going to come out of her womb. Angel says, you are highly favored and the Lord is with you. Now you can imagine when somebody asked Mary when she was young, what do you want to be when you grow up? She never answered, oh, I want to be the mother of the Messiah. Never even crossed her radar. But the Bible says she was pronounced to be greatly favored by God. And her being greatly favored by God and God being with her was diametrically opposed to her present condition. Let me put a cord in the meter and park right there for a second because I need to help somebody. Don't ever limit what God can do in your life because of where you are now. Where you are now is not a finishing point. It's a starting point to where God wants you to be. And don't project your limitations upon God. In other words, don't say, well, I don't understand it, so that means God can't do it. I can't see it, so that means God can't see it being done. It doesn't make sense to me. Somehow you think it can't make sense to God. Mary was greatly troubled, one translator said. But the angel told her, you are highly favored. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. So he tells Mary, gives us some specificity to the prophetic word. He says, first of all, let me tell you what you're going to name the child. His name's going to be Jesus. You know, there's some children in our neighborhood. I wish the Lord had told their mamas what to name them, because God knows. Folk be just making up names. You know, God ain't had nothing to do with your baby being named Cavorsier. Come on now. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Come on, my baby's name is Hennessy. Come on, come on now. Y'all think I'm lying. I'm telling you the truth. He says, this child's name is going to be Jesus. Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. And then the angel says, and this Jesus is going to be great. There's greatness coming from your womb. Then the angel says he will be called Son of the Highest, God Almighty. He will trace his lineage directly on his father's side through David, but on his mama's side to heaven's throne. And then he says he will be the son of David to receive the throne of David. And his kingdom will be eternal. Now, you had to imagine this little humble, mild girl had to think, why would God do something special for me like that? But here's what I need you to understand. When God has a purpose and plan for your life, it doesn't have to make sense to you. All you have to do is say yes to what God is declaring. See, this young girl had to recognize that because God had come to her, she had a choice. And she chose to say yes. She didn't understand it, but she said yes. God, I believe I'm going to trust you. And there's somebody in here, God wants you to realize that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. The angel may not have visited you, but the Bible says when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost takes up residence inside of you. That you've got divinity living inside of you. And God says if divinity is living inside of you, then the question is, will you allow that divinity that has taken up residence inside of you to control you, to do something to you, so God can ultimately do something great through you? Look at James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Psalm 138, verse 6. Let's read it together. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance. Number one, you need to make your person available to God. Number two, you need to accept God has a purpose and plan for your life. Here's the third and final thing. If you're going to have God's promises fulfilled in your life, number three, you need to allow God's power to have his way in your life. You have to allow God's power to have his way in your life. It's right here in the text. Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. The birth of Jesus required both humanity and divinity. The birth of Jesus required a woman to be the incubator of this conceived child, and that child could go through the gestation period. But the Bible declares that while he needed an earthly mother to enter into earth, he had to have a heavenly father in order to be able to die on the cross and pay for our sins. And the Bible says Mary asked the question, how can this happen? Now remember, she was afraid, right? She was confused. She had questions as to how, but she didn't question God's what. God said, this is what's going to happen. And she's like, man, how's this going to happen? Because she asked for information. But listen carefully. She did not allow a lack of information to keep her from being obedient. She chose to walk by faith, even though she didn't have a full understanding of what God was going to do. Here's what I'm trying to get somebody to understand. She gets news of the conception. She doesn't get word at that moment that Herod is going to try to kill her baby and issue a command for every male child under 2 years old in the entire region to die trying to kill Jesus. She didn't get word that she's going to have to run for her life with a family and go to Egypt to hide out. She didn't get word that he would die on the cross one day. She didn't get all of that. She just acted on what God said. She asked for more information, but she didn't require a full answer in order to obey and trust God. Don't let your inability to understand what or how God can do what he wants to do to keep you from being available to what God wants to do. Don't sit there and say, well, God, I don't see it. I don't understand it. So, because some of y'all have been stuck there for a long time and you still waiting on an answer and you still waiting on an understanding. And God simply says, can you just say yes? Have I not been good enough? Have I not shown you enough for you to just say yes and trust me for the journey that I want to take you on? So watch what the text says. The text says the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of God will overshadow you. And the child born of your womb will be holy, the Son of God. And Mary learned firsthand that the God who can open a closed womb in Elizabeth can open her womb, and her womb had never been opened. She saw the power of God work in an old lady And she could feel the power of God working in her to do God's will. Can I tell somebody something? It's no secret what God can do. And sometimes you got to be like Mary, watch this, and be encouraged by what you see God doing in somebody else's life. Can I tell you the problem with too many of us? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person next to you. We see God bless somebody else and we become envious instead of encouraged. See, I'm never envious of what God is doing about somebody else or for somebody else or with somebody else. I just fuel my prayer and say, Lord, just like you did it for them. Here am I. I'm right here, Lord. And here's what God wants you to understand. Whenever you connect your you can't with God's can, God's can will override your you can't if you learn how to trust him. But you got to believe in the power of God. And there's too many of us, even in the body of Christ, who are trying to do things in our own power and our own flesh. And the problem is when you try to do it in your own power and your own flesh, then you are positioning yourself to take all the credit and all the glory. Somebody in here going into 2025, I want to encourage you to pray, listen carefully, and undertake some things that at the end of the journey, when everything is finished, you will have a God did it testimony. So when folk walk up and say, man, how'd you do that? God did it. No question about it. You can't take any credit for it. It's got to be a God did it moment. Look at Matthew 19, 26. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. See, you need to know the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and he is ready to empower you to do the miraculous and the supernatural that can only be explained. God did it. Can you imagine somebody trying to make sense out of Mary's situation or make sense out of Elizabeth's situation? And the only thing that we hear back is God did it. God did it. God did it. You got to believe that God can do it. Matthew 17, 20. Let's read it together. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Y'all sound so good. Let's read Mark 9, 23 together. What do you mean if I can't? Wait a minute. No. I'm sorry. I see some attitude in that. You know what I mean? I can hear Jesus saying, what you mean if I can? Right? What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. Listen to me carefully. The believing that we talked about Mary did last week had to be precipitated by her making herself available to God, accepting God's purpose and plan for her life, and allowing God's power to move on her so the power of God could move through her. Let me give you a couple more things and then I'm going to take my seat. I was reading this week, my wife and I were talking about this, and it was this phrase, and the phrase is stop shooting yourself. Stop shooting yourself. SHOULD-ING. Stop shooting yourself. Some of y'all trying to sound like y'all substituting something. It's shooting. Shooting. S-H-O-U-L-D-I-N-G. I-N-G. Just in case my New York accent is clouding the words that are coming out. Shooting yourself. I should have. Why didn't you? Yeah, you're right. I should have. What you gonna do now? Are you gonna continue to allow the should of your today determine your tomorrow because of what you didn't do in your yesterday? Or are you gonna stop shooting yourself? When you say you can, that's fear talk. When you say God can, that's faith talk. Somebody tweet that for me. Would you put that out there? When you say you can't, that's fear talk. But when you say God can, that's faith talk. And the promises of God will never be fulfilled as long as you focus on fear talk. They will only be fulfilled when your language is faith talk. Father, we thank you and we bless you for today. We pray now that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that we would leave here determined to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well. Help us, God, to make decisions today to see your power made manifest in us, on us, and through us in our tomorrows. I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that every person under the sound of my voice, those who are watching, those who are here present in the sanctuary, upstairs and down, I pray, God, that you would bring to their mind and their remembrance what you have said to them and challenge them now, God, to trust you. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise if you will. As Reverend Bell comes to extend our invitation, I want to tell you something that's coming up, and I'm going to be announcing it in January. So I've been working with pastors around the country, discipling pastors, teaching pastors. And one of the things that I've told pastors around the country is that a church can grow no higher than the pastor's willing to go. That when you see limitations in an organization, those limitations already exist in the leadership. So there either has to be a change within the pastor in a church, or there's got to be a change of the pastor in that church. So I'm talking, y'all, I'm teaching. Pastor's thanking me, man. And then the Lord starts talking to me. He says, now you've been doing all right, but there's some stuff I told you I wanted you to do. When you gonna do it? Yeah, Lord, I should have done. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna get to it. And so over the last 30 days that the Lord has made it real plain what he wants me to do. I'm gonna need your prayers. I'm gonna need your support. And God has already shown me multiple ways that this is going to help not only take us to the next level, but help other churches go to the next level. And those of you who have been here for any length of time know that I'm not afraid of the abnormal or the without a box thinking. But I'm saying that to say God has already challenged me, affirmed, confirmed, and now it's just waiting for me to cooperate with what he's already told me to do. Now somebody's saying, well, Pastor, why are you telling them? Because I don't want to feel this pressure by myself. So I'm trying to help somebody else feel this pressure. Because just like God told me, God told you some stuff. And just like God said, now what you going to do? God's saying to you, now what you going to do? What you going to do? Your pastor stand up there confessing. Now what you going to do? You need a microphone? What you going to do? Because it's time for all of us to embrace the promises of God for our life and walk in that fulfillment of that promise. So I want you to be prayerful. Y'all are quiet. That means I'm stepping on somebody's feet. But I want you to be prayerful. And I want you to be trusting of God so you can stop shooting your way through life and start thanking God for the God did it moments that he's already reserved for you. Amen. Amen.